Hello, everybody, and welcome again to Focus Fire Podcast, episode number 12. I'm Alan, as always, joined by my co-host, Jeff Dirty Pool.
Hey, guys.
And once again, Focus Fire is a semi-regular, and by semi-regular, I mean semi-regular, competitive 40K podcast aimed at providing you focus and practical advice that you can actually use to improve your game. Or not. It's up to you. This podcast is brought to you through the TFG Radio Network and its fine host of products. Like, I don't know. And we thank so once again to all of our sponsors, Hammerhead Games. Check them out for all your needs for tokens. And, of course, we'd like to thank our Patreon sponsors. You're the heroes that make this podcast happen. But also, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us at focusedfirepodcast@gmail.com. Today, we're going to have three topics for you. We're going to talk about Space Marines. Shocker. And we're going to talk about Space Marines sleeper units that escaped the FAQ and got out of Dodge just in time. The other one is practical application. Jeff goes to an RTT, and the SoCal Open. We're going to do my final preps, because minutes before, because the deadline to submit lists was 7 p.m. tonight, and just before this podcast, I was working on my list all day and just barely got it in under the wire, so.
And as a typical TFG Radio Network fashion, there will be a shocking change in his list.
I know, we like to, we don't like to play test beforehand. We like to go change our list before an event and go, huh, I wonder if this is going to work.
Let's back that up. You mean you, no, not we.
John, too. Okay. So the salty one is known for that. So Jeff, let's start us off with the Space Marine sleeper units. Some people will think that's the whole codex, but let's go ahead.
All right. Well, you know, everyone knows about Executioners and Leviathan Dreadnoughts, but I've had a few games against Space Marines to date, and you know, I was playing kind of a mix of lists. Our last league, I was playing the Bash Bros just for the lulz, and I got creamed by a Space Marine, a couple of Space Marine players. I played Eldar Planes against Space Marines and got creamed, and I played Orcs against Space Marines as well, and I managed to pull out a win with some lucky dice. But I guess to me, the big giant elephant in the room is Assault Centurions. These things are fucking crazy. And they're fucking crazy because they can now deep strike or infiltrate. There's a multitude of ways in which you can keep them off the board and then allow them to appear 9 inches away from your enemy and rain havoc down upon that enemy.
So, yeah, because previously their big limitation was they're pedestrians. And they walk, I guess they move only like 4 or 5 inches or something like that. But there's a couple codexes now. I think it's White Scars and Raven Guard, which allow you to basically either outflank them or deep strike them.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the thing, is Assault Centurions are fucking bananas. They have a 2-up armor save and a bajillion, they have a you can equip them with a Hurricane Bolter and 2 flamers, and they just go nuts. So when the game I played against them, it was one of our local players here in LA who loves to take list to the extreme. He says, oh, if I could take one of something, why don't I take the maximum amount? And so he ran 18 Assault Centurions as Raven Guard in a successor chapter, and he took a thing where he got +3 inches to his range, which includes flamers, which is each Centurion, Assault Centurion, gets 2d6 flamer shots. So now he can deep strike 9 inches away from you and hit you with his flamers and his 12 Hurricane Bolter shots per guy. So each of these things is coming up on turn 2 because he deep strikes him. They have a 27-inch range for the Hurricane Bolters, which is 72 shots, 72 shots.
72 shots each.
Yeah, hitting on 3s, wounding on, you know, strength 4, and then he has 2d6, so it's 12d6 flamer shots that can hit anything that was screening it out, and then the 27 inches for the Hurricane Bolter can kill anything else. And low if you are Magnus or Mortarion or a knight who are characters, and they get +1 to hit and wound against you. So he was wounding my essentially had 3 squads deep strike in. One came up, killed Mortarion. The other one came up, killed Magnus. And the other one came up and killed the rest of my army. So I literally he went first, and at the end of top of 2, he had killed both Primarchs and all my Zangors, and two characters, Ahriman and a Demon Prince. I was kind of like, oh, okay.
That's nice.
This is bad. Abort, run away. So, I mean, the Assault Centurions are the real sleeper threat. And, you know, you can start them off the board. So they don't have to walk across the board at you. They don't have to ride in a Land Raider, which you can shoot and you can play against. And when you can come into the board and have 72 bolter shots that can go 24 inches away in any direction, you
27
can't,
inches.
Well, if you're that successor chapter, but even if you're not that successor chapter, they can still have, you know, 72 bolter shots that are coming and clearing out screen somewhere else. They have a 2-up armor save. They hit like a truck in melee. I didn't get to experience it, but because they killed me in shooting. But it was, you know, when you can. So one of the things I've noticed is that the Centurions are just so cheap. And they're like 300 points. They can just delete whatever they touch. Even a knight, like, probably the math works out that you'll kill a knight. Like, 72 shots, you know, and especially if it's a character knight, you're like, plus one to hit, plus one to wound with Raven Guard. It's pretty nuts. So I've noticed that, like, to me, that's the biggest offender is the Assault Centurion. It has hits like a truck in melee. I think they have 3 attacks each or 4 attacks each, and they don't have the minus one to hit, and they swing with power thunder hammers or whatever. So they're strength 10, minus 3, 3 damage attacks, and they just kind of will blender through anything that's in their way. So they are extremely efficient at killing hordes and extremely efficient at killing vehicles. And with a chaplain, you can give them plus 2 to charge, so they only need a 7-inch charge at a deep strike.
Yeah, the thing about them, because I played against the same player and went up against them as well, and the thing I noticed was that the chapter tactic that gives you plus 3-inch range, because normally flamers are out of range when you deep strike down, but they made a mistake giving flamer weapons plus 3 inches, because now you can deep strike a flamer. And those things, they're supposed to be an assault unit, and they have an incredible amount of firepower. Now, on average, with the flamer and their bolters, they should do 15 hits. That's not shots. It's 15. They should hit anything 15 times each. And it was just brutal, because I played against him. He dropped down, and I had a fully buffed Shining Spear squad. So it's got a 2-up, 3-up save, and it's got Fortune on, and 2 wounds each. And his first Assault Centurions blew through me. Killed about 6 of my Shining Spears. His second Centurion squad blew away all my screens and basically killed the rest of my Shining Spears. And then he had the third Assault Centurion squad. Each one killed an independent character itself. And so I just got completely shredded by these Assault Centurions and just their firepower. And then usually, you know, if something has incredible firepower, it has weaknesses, especially in Assault. But these are Assault Centurions, so they're all like strength 10 with like a million AP, and you're just gonna burn. You gotta go through the wall of fire to get to them, even. So they have no weaknesses, and they come down and just how many wounds they have? Like 4 wounds each. Yeah. So yeah, so they don't have an invulnerable save, I don't believe.
No.
But they're incredibly they're resilient with a 2-up save and 4 wounds and toughness 5, I want to say.
T5, yeah. And in most things in the meta, like you're minus 1, minus 2, you're still getting a 4-up save. Even against a Thunderhammer, minus 3, you're getting a 5-up save with that Centurion. And if you're in cover, you know, it's even worse. You know?
Yeah, and you're not going to blow through it. You're not going to kill that many of them. And I noticed as my... We'll talk about it a little more as this is kind of impacted my SoCal Open list, because I have no answer for those things. I had nothing that could kill them, and they could just easily wipe me out. So that kind of was like, that was like a big eye-opener.
Yeah. So I think a couple other units to touch on. One is the Stormhawk Interceptor, I think is the plane. It's the plane hunting plane that they have. So it's like the Crimson Hunter for Space Marines, and it has a slew of special rules, but the primary ones that you want to worry about is it's a flyer, so minus 1 to hit. And if you have the fly keyword, you have another minus 1 to hit because it gets all dodgy, I guess. I don't know. Not even, so like Riptides, Flyers, Venoms, you know, any swooping hawks, anything with the fly keyword, is minus one to hit, including other Space Marine units like Executioners and stuff like that. And it also gets plus one to hit against other flyers. So it, if it's going after something with the aircraft that it usually has a minus one to hit, it can just be like, well, I'm going to hit you on my normal ballistic skill. And compare that with Iron Hand's combat or doctrine thingies where they can ignore the movement penalty for heavy weapons. They reroll ones in the Devastator Doctrine, and they get an additional minus one to hit or minus one AP. These things are flying around the battlefield and just popping off and just knocking things down and saying, most things that are high-efficient shooting units in the game, other than Imperial Guard, essentially, and Imperial Knights, have the fly keyword. So they're really durable against those flying the other flyer units, and they can pump out a ton of shots. They have like two assault cannons, two heavy bolters, a missile launcher, and a couple other guns too. It's like they put out a ton of shooting, and it's kind of high volume, decent strength, decent AP shooting that'll just shred through lightly armored targets.
Yeah, because as you notice when you play this, that flyers are just so maneuverable, they can basically place themselves anyway. And the only real good counter for flyers are other flyers. And so being able to shoot them down, get in position to shoot them down and be able to take them on, it's going to be hard because they're protected against flyers, and they shoot flyers really well. So
yeah, they're really good. I played a game where I was playing six Eldar flyers against him, and on turn one, my opponent had three Iron Hand interceptors. On turn one, each one shot down a plane, and then he had his Scorpiuses blow up four Venoms, or two each, because they shoot twice. So on turn two, I had like one plane left after he had his second shooting phase. It was pretty brutal. So those things are really mean, especially against like things like a Latoc, where, okay, they have plus one to hit, which negates the flyer minus one that a Latoc has, and then they can easily just zip over to where you are and be within 12 inches of you to negate your Latoc bonus. So they're just hitting you on threes, and they reroll ones. And so and they're good against a lot of things, strength five, strength six, minus two AP on everything. That's really good, high-quality shooting right there. So to me, those are another sleeper unit that I think people are picking up on in the meta. And I think we did see some lists during the Iron Hands domination weekend 2 weeks ago, where I think they had six flyers. But, those ones are, even if you just take three of them, they're really, really good because they operate independently of any character support in the army. So, and that brings us to our last sleeper unit, Alan's favorite.
Yep.
Tell us all about it, Alan.
Oh, it's the Thunderfire Cannon, everybody's favorite. Now what's funny was everybody's kind of talking about how the new like Banshees and all these other things. It's like I see almost every list nowadays has like a Thunderfire Cannon in it. Now, Thunderfire Cannons, when you have these Eldar running around with their four up and four up armor save, these stupid Thunderfire Cannons are just going to shred you. So I don't understand where everybody was saying, these Eldar units are that great, because I don't see it. So they just pop you, and then also they get to slow you down too, make it worse.
I know it's a big deal. Like my orcs, I'm literally just like, I don't know what I'm gonna do if I run into a Thunderfire Cannon. They're gonna slow two of my orc units down, and then I gotta hope the other two can get there. I'm sure they'll be dead that time, actually. So
okay, so here's the stats on the Thunderfire Cannon. It doesn't move, but it doesn't need to. And they gave a ballistic skill too, I guess, because the Tech Marine is firing it, and he's got a ballistic skill too. But ballistic skill two, really? And they're usually gonna be rerolling ones.
Yeah, because of Iron Hands.
And so it's basically a 60-inch range, 4d3 shots. So basically, what's that? It averages out to 8 shots.
Yeah,
that's a lot of shots. Strength 5, so it's wounds almost, anything not non-super elite stuff on a 3-up. AP minus 1, so and they have the Devastator Doctrine, makes it minus AP minus 2.
Minus 1, yeah, so minus 2 AP.
But only 1 damage.
Oh,
and basically, you can target units out of line of sight. That's another big thing. There's nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide. And also, if you play this game a little bit, you'll notice the old school codexes and a lot of the old heavy weapons, you're dealing with almost everything that has a has like a 36 inch to 48 inch range for heavy weapons. And as a counter and a way to defend against these weapons, you can kind of place yourself out of range of these weapons, especially like turn one or turn two, and then maybe close or keep yourself alive. The Thunderfire Cannon, the new overpowered stuff out of the Space Marine Codex has a huge range. So the Thunderfire Cannon is 60 inch range. So good luck getting, so you can't really stay out of range of it. And it's going to go, it's going to shoot almost anything, and it can just stay in cover. And then it has a, let's talk about its defensive stats. It's toughness 6, so it's hard as Hades to kill. It's got 4 wounds, and it's got a 2-up save. So even if you do manage to get to the side of the board and dig it out of cover, it's still not dying any time soon to almost anything firing at it, except for like the heaviest weapons.
Yeah, and let's be real, these aren't sitting in the open. They're sitting in a... In...
Okay, and that will lead us to topic number 2.
I got to go to an RTT!
I know, you finally got out of the man cave and the kitty cave.
I think
kitty...
this is my second RTT of the year, if I'm being honest. So I got to go, I got some games played, and I guess I'll kind of go over my list. I just took my orcs. I really was interested to see what they could do against the Iron Hands. This is pre-nerf Iron Hands. And it's the same work list I've been running in the over the summer. So it's like 120 boys, some characters, 3 shock attack guns, and some tank buster boys. So I guess, you know, I want to impart actionable or, you know, advice on things I fucked up on so that you guys don't hopefully make these bad choices. But I've gone over this before, and I'm getting better at my pre-game assessment and whatnot, but I was playing in round 2 Grey Knights of all things, and of course I'm trying to get in my head like don't be overconfident. This is Grey Knights, it's actually a really bad matchup.
It's
for
a trap.
Well, it's a bad matchup for us because it's a bajillion Storm Bolter shots, and so he has like all this anti-infantry shooting, and I was just kind of like, okay. So that's going to be an issue. He has 10 paladins or 8 paladins or whatever, and they have a lot of 2-up armor, and so that's going to be an issue for me because my boys aren't very good at getting through 2-up armor. So I knew, okay, I have to shoot his paladins with my shock attack guns. But what I didn't think... So I took Gangbusters as one of my secondaries. And I could have easily taken Kingslayer on his Nemesis Dread Knight, who would have been much easier for me to kill because it's a bigger target, harder for him to hide. But in the middle of our board, or not really, kind of offset in his opponent's zone, he had this big ruin that he could just put his paladins in. And of course he proceeded to do that. And he cast Astral Aim every turn on these guys and pumped out, you know, 36 or 32 bolter shots into me with Drago around him, rerolling to hit. And, you know, wounding on, he'd make them strength 5, wounding on 3. So he would just... the first turn, he's just like, all right, I'm going to Astral Aim. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, Astral Aim is rare. You forget about it because nobody ever fights Grey Knights.
But, yeah, I totally forgot about it. And he just was like, I'm going to keep the paladins in this building. Just shoot your orc army as it kind of walks across the table at me. And I was like, okay, I have to stay inside my bubble, my custom force shield bubble. And he wasn't killing too many orcs, but it was just kind of a eye-opening. I'm like, oh, shit, he doesn't actually have to leave this building with his paladins, and I have gangbusters on them. I'm going to lose because he's going to get more secondary points than me. I'm going to hold more than him. We might kill him the same or something, but I'm going to be down 4 secondary points because I chose a bad secondary because I didn't look at the board. I knew where his deployment zone was. I knew about Astral Aim. I didn't think about it, but I should have just been like, I'm going to take Kingslayer, and I'll pick that guy up in a round of shooting with shock attack guns. Like, there's not a lot of places he can hide, and if he can, I can just move around so I can to jump a shock attack gun and go kill him, or I can send my war boss over there on a bike and he can punch this, you know, baby carriage to death. but I didn't. I was like, oh, I'm going to just get the paladins. And that became into a bad situation because my war boss on bike couldn't go into the building because he's a biker. My shock attack guns couldn't shoot them because they're in a building. And my orc boys, they can charge them, but with Astral Aim, they're going to lose 10 guys to Overwatch or something like that. And then they're going to be punching at 2-up armor, and my boys hate punching at 2-up armor. So it was really a bad pre-game mistake, and that's where a lot of my errors are in my games. But I managed to pull it out because he did. I left a hole open on my left flank near my shock attack guns, and I was planning on to jumping 30 boys over to my left flank to his to like charge some strike squads and his engineers on his left flank or his right flank, my on my left. And I, of course, go to roll my the jump power, and I was going to fill in the gap where I left a kind of a deep strike hole with my boy squad. So I go to the jump, and I roll snake eyes. I'm like, oh, fuck. I only need a 4, because it's like, I got plus 3 to cast. And I'm like, okay, I just need to roll this, re-roll this one, and I roll into another one. So not only do I not get the power off, and I have perils. I don't, luckily my weird boy doesn't kill himself. But so that leaves this huge hole in my left flank, and I'm like, fuck, okay. And I'm thinking, like, okay, well, best case scenario, he's going to go over there and kill both my shock attack guns and a couple other characters. But at least it'll be in the open, you know, and I'm like, I can go kill him with other things. I have a bunch of, you know, characters I can go over there and punch him to death or something. So he comes down, and he fails to kill my shock attack guns. He shoots a bunch of shots into him, but he, like, splits his shots. Doesn't realize the shock attack guns, they have 4-up armor because they're Big Macs. And I'm sitting in cover, so I get a 3-up armor against him. And I survived. I was like, I'm a Marine, look at me. Yeah, and they're like, and he was just like, oh my God. So he doesn't kill him. He fails his charge to kill my my guys, and I'm able to turn around and kill all the Paladins in one round of shooting with shock attack guns. But it was that big swing, because if he had killed my shock attack guns on my left flank, I don't think I would have taken the game. But I think, you know, that's just another pre-game error I made, and I just need to, you know, you always want to think about if you take, I guess the takeaway is, if you take a kill-based secondary, and it's only awardable from one or two units in your opponent's army, you have to consider the fact that your opponent can deny you those kill points. You're giving them the option to deny you the secondary points. Like, in an Eldar army, if there's an Autarch on a bike, you can take, and he's the world, you can take Kingslayer on him for 4 points if you kill him. But that guy's a character with less than 8-10 wounds, and he can just sit him in a building and say, okay, I just won't use him this turn, this game, and I'll just have 4 extra points on you. And so you have to kind of really be cognizant of that and think about, well, if I take this kill-based secondary, can my opponent just say, okay, I'll choose not to use this unit, and I'll deny you 4 kill points or 4 secondary points. And yeah, kind of is the trade-off worth it? Maybe taking those things off the board is a good thing and may let you win the game easily if they're not on the board or in play. But just kind of something to think about. Like, when I found that for my second game against Grey Knights, I realized it too late. But luckily, I was able to pull it off. But it was definitely a close call. I did get a chance to play pre-Iron Hand FAC Falchion. It was fucking, this thing is absurd. The Falchion. It's always the Falchion. It's always like at Slaughterfest this year, there was like 100 Falchions.
It's because it has the Space Marine keyword, and so you get all the Space Marine buffs.
Yeah. Well, you just essentially, you can take all these stratagems that were intended for like executioners and rhinos and apply it to this Forge World monstrosity, you know, that has like, it's essentially 2 Castellan guns stapled together on top of a thing with a 2-up ballistic skill, a 2-up armor, and toughness 9. It's like, it's insane.
Yeah, I played them at Slaughterfest, and I played a Space Marine, Space Wolf one, so it gets all the Space Wolf buff, and a Thousand Wolf Suns one, so it gets all the Thousand Suns buff. So.
I mean, luckily you were playing with Haywire.
Yeah.
For me, I was playing with my Shock Attack gun, and by the graces of Gork and Mork, I was able to roll high and kill it. But I literally, like, on the first turn, I rolled decently well, and he had the -1 damage relic, and a 5-up invulnerable save, and I did 15 wounds to it. I was like, fuck yeah, I was going to kick this thing's ass, so I'm going to do that next turn. And then he heals it, 9 wounds. He heals it once with Pharos, then another time with Pharos to his treasure, and then he heals it for another 3 wounds. So I'm like, okay, so I did 6 wounds to it, actually. And this gets into the fact, because the fact they changed that, to my understanding, that you can't repair the same vehicle twice. So I'm like, that's a huge deal, and it would have made a big difference in our game. But turns 2 and 3, I like my shock attack guns are like wet noodles. I think I did a combined damage of like 6 over 2 turns to this thing. I'm like, okay, well, it's not going to die. So it's at full strength on turn 4. And I'm like losing boys because this thing also just shoots a ton of shots. 2d6 shots plus a bunch of las guns and heavy bolter shots. It's just like just killing boys. And then I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll see my luck holds. And I roll like strength 11 and like 10 shots or something, and I just ace this thing at one round of shooting with the shock attack gun, which is like, thank God, because And if I didn't do that, he would have just rolled over me. Because it also fights crazy. It has like 8 attacks.
Yeah, it's right. It hits strength 9.
It's like, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's huge. It just seems like these forge roll things. But, I mean, there's nothing really to teach about this. This game, other than shock attack guns are cool. You know? But I definitely think the FAQ will, you know, it'll tone down Iron Hands. I don't think it, to me, the big issue with Space Marines is that they have insane damage output. And Iron Hands lost a little bit of their durability, which is what one of their big things was. But the thing is they still, like, have a billion shots, rerolling everything, rerolling the ones to wound, and they'll just shoot you to death before you can kill them now. So it's not really going to change much.
Everybody thought the FAQ was a giant panacea. Everything's good. Nothing to see here. Space Marines are fine now. No, there's still a bunch of broken stuff. We just scratched the surface of it, too. So they're still going to have, like, at least a Yunari-like win rate. So,
yeah,
and they're
going to
be everywhere. Yeah, so we're going to see a bunch of stuff. I fought Danny. He mentioned a little bit on his podcast, Danny Ruiz from TFG Radio. I played him and his 3 executioners. And it's like, we played on a board. I didn't have that much terrain, so I couldn't really hide anywhere. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just take it like a man. So his shooting, I go 1 second, but his shooting is like mostly all his shooting is within 40 inches. He's got a 10-inch move, and he can move 10 inches without penalty. So as long as I stay like 30 inches or 40 inches away from him, I'm just going to eat his big guns. And he just like aced one of my Dark Eldar flyers, and he took out one of my Skyweavers. Like, because everybody thinks, oh, Skyweavers, they're the answers. It's like, no.
they die really easily.
Because they're only toughness 4 with a 4 up invulnerable save. And yeah, they got 3 wounds each and they're -1 to be hit, but they have so many bonuses to be hit. And they have such an incredible amount of firepower that they just shred. And then, like I said, they have Thunderfire. And I just thought, so basically I ended up moving up. And even then I had trouble moving up because, you know, I'm staying 40 inches away. My guns are only 24 inch range. So I have trouble bringing my guns to bear. So I ended up moving up and ended up shooting him. And I did okay. I didn't do okay because the guns are random. And I rolled, I shot him with 6 Skyweaver jet bikes. And so that's 6d6, which should do well over 20 shots on average. And I rolled 10. It's like, so I hit him with 10 shots.
Jeez.
And did nothing to it. Yeah. So I did nothing to one of them. So I ended up, I wasn't able to kill one. And so he just basically healed that back up, which he can't do as well now, but still, you know. So I moved once. I only had 2 big bike squads left. So I moved one up and I did Prismatic Blur on it, which gives me a 3 up invulnerable save. And the other squad I fired and faded behind buildings. So I thought, well, okay, well, I'll try to keep my Skyweavers alive because now I'm fully buffed up. But no, these things have so much firepower. So I ended up with lightning fast reflexes. So he's -2 to hit me. And with a 3 up invulnerable save, and he just shredded me. So he went through me like a hot knife through butter. I just couldn't stand up to the type of firepower, even with all my buffs up.
Well, that brings us, that's a good transition to topic 3. So what did you change for your list? What are you expecting for SoCal? What do you think you're going
to
see?
I changed what I expect to see. Marines. What's my prediction? Pain. So with the Thunderfire cannons and the Eliminators and everything else like that.
Oh God, Eliminators. We didn't even talk about it. I fucking hate those guys. Those things are insane.
And just the amount of firepower. They have Ballista Skill 2, rerolling ones, and just a million shots with the flyers and all the other stuff. And so it's like, how do I keep my stuff alive? Because normally I keep it like, so I take some Storm Guardians, you know, just to, you know, fill out for some CPs, to fill out the battalion. But now these just can get killed so easy, and it's really important to get kills every turn and not be killed. And so I kind of want to not give up easy kills. So I ended up taking mostly Rangers. So I switched them out because Rangers are -2 to be hit, which hopefully will keep them a little bit alive.
Well, and you can also deep strike them for free.
Yeah, I can deep strike them, which will keep them alive, or at least, keep them from being killed turn one and two. Yeah. But they also have a strat. I kind of wish I took one squad of 10 just to keep them alive, but they do have one strat where they need sixes to hit, and that's actually really good because there's so much, with all the firepower, being only hit on sixes might keep me alive if I have to stand like out in the open on an objective or something like that. So I've switched to almost all Rangers, and now what am I going to equip them with? Now, I fought those assault centurions and I fought tanks, so it's like I need durability. You can't take, I was thinking, well, maybe swooping hawks to get into their backfield, but they have a strength 3 gun. Yeah, they have a lot of firepower, but a lot of shots, but strength 3 just doesn't cut it with no AP. And same thing, because fire dragons are only have a 4-up save. There's all these aspect warriors, and people talk about banshees. Banshees only have a 4-up save. It's like, oh, banshees are really good. They move really fast. Yeah, but they're just so squishy. So it's like, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I was like, okay, well, I got to kind of look at defense. I got to look at staying alive and denying kills. So I was looking at, basically, I wanted to take a lot of warp spiders. Warp spiders, if they're in a LATOC, you know, over 12 inches, they're -1 to hit. Everybody knows about that. But they also have a flicker jump where they're another -1. So warp spiders start with a -2 to be hit, and they have a 3-up save. So they're a little bit more durable. So you plant them in cover, you know, and they'll have a 2-up save. So I kind of like them, and then also because the new Phoenix Rising gives them some new Autark abilities. One of them is that, and also I like the ability to deep strike. If I'm going second, I don't want to, and Eldar, almost all the Eldars have points. They can pay CPs to strike from the webway. I want free deep strikes. I'm running low on CPs, and they're very important to me. So they have the ability to deep strike, and they're super fast once they do hit the board, because they move 12 inches plus like 46. So
they
move fast. And so one of the Autark, the Exarch abilities is they land on the ground, and the first time that a deep strike, they reroll the hit. So that's pretty good. You don't need to worry about guide or buffing them or anything like that. So they hit pretty hard the first time. Another one I really like is they have basically, it's like a veil or a gate of infinity. Basically, you just, once per game, you just move them completely across the board and deep strike, you know, move them within 9 inches. So that's really good too for moving, like digging out units in the back, because I hate those stupid eliminators killing my HQs. But I just couldn't really swing the point. So, and I thought about like assault centurions and just the durability, and I just didn't have any tools to kill them. So I dug deep and I went with a titanic creature. I went with a Wraith Knight.
Bring in the Wraith Knight.
Bring it, yeah.
Oh, man. What are we in 7th edition?
I'm bringing Sexy back. So.
Oh, shit.
And
not just the regular Wraith Knight.
Yeah, it pains me to say that I had to go into the world. I had to go into Forge World. That's the big downside of the Space Marine Codex, because it hurts my soul, and it's making me, the things it's making me do. That's
this guy will do anything.
But the Wraith Knight,
Scatty Hattie.
It basically has a free deep strike, which is great, because if I go second, I don't have to worry about executioners just blowing me off the table or doing anything like that. I get to deep strike down without being smoked. And I decided to give it the Volcano Lances, which is basically these two giant Meltaguns. So they're like the what's the one on the knight, the equivalent on the knight?
Thermal cannon.
Yeah, the thermal cannon. They're 24-inch range, strength 8, AP -4, D6 damage, and within half range, roll 2d6 and take the highest. So they're really good at killing what are the tanks at the
executioners?
Yeah, the executioners, and they're really good at killing. And also because of Forewarned, where you can shoot things out of deep strike, he can actually kill an assault centurion squad that from just Overwatch the Forewarned stratagem, where they get to shoot at a deep striking unit. So I kind of went with that because it's super killy, and then it's got It's also, I gave it two scatterlators, so it can shoot a little bit anti-horror, but, you know, that's nothing to write home about. But
it also gets
stomped. It stomps, yeah. It's a little stompy. So,
and then, so what's, why don't you go through your whole list, and then we can talk about the all the combos and things like that.
The combo wombos?
Yeah, so you got to
okay, so basically, I have two Autark Skyrunners, Banshee Max, they're basically the same. Banshee Mask, Laser Lance, Fusion Gun.
And are they, these are LATOC?
Yes. And then I have three Rangers, three units of school, five Rangers in a battalion. And then I have a Supreme Command detachment. I have a Farseer Skyrunner, two Spirit Seers, and the Wraith Knight. And then I'm taking Harlequins, of course, because I have to. I'm taking a Troop Master as my HQ. Two Jeff Jesters, a Solitaire, and two squads of five Skyweavers.
And you did, you taking that Wraith Host detachment?
Yeah, so here's the problem. They have this really nice ability called the Wraith Host detachment out of Vigilus 1. But you need to take a Supreme Command host to do it. So you need to have the Spirit Seer in a Supreme Command. You just can't take the Wraith Knight, unfortunately, by itself. And the Spirit Host, even though it costs you 1 CP, what it does do is it gives you a stratagem to give you a 4+ invulnerable save. And that's really good for that kind of a monstrosity.
Yeah, it's especially since you can deep strike the Wraith Knight. I mean, you can bring it in, ace something that could potentially kill it with
or,
those...
Or two things.
Yeah, well, you probably don't want to split your firepower, especially with D6 we'll shotguns. Yeah, he's been telling me about game one. I split my firepower and I lost. But then you can also give it that 4+ invulnerable save, which on a, it's, you know, like a rotating Night Titan, you know? So right. It does change the math quite significantly on its durability.
And yeah, as far as durability goes, the Farseer can give it fortune, so you can give it feel no pain. And they also actually, in the Wraith Host, has a spell that actually gives it a cover save, even if it's standing out in the open. So the, It's a really good durable combo that packs quite a punch. And it also has four attacks, which is four attacks are okay, but it's like a knight, so it's got stomp. So each attack is three attacks. And so so that's 12 stompy attacks. And then the I made him Iondin, by the way. So you have the Psychodrome or whatever it is, yeah, for the relic, so you can double the attack. So you go from 4 to 8 attacks times 3, so you get 24 stomp attacks.
Yeah, that can... I mean, if you, and so you can also, the nice thing is you can take on your Spirit Seers plus 2 inches to charge spell.
Right.
So it comes at a deep strike, 9 inches away from something big, smokes something else with its laser, with its Inferno Lances, and then charges with a 7-inch charge to get into like another Executioner or a Knight, another, it could probably kill a Knight Titan with, you know, 24 strength 8 minus 2 D3 damage attacks.
Yeah, and I took Iondin, so even if I do get injured a lot, it's really hard to bracket it. So if I'm down to, like, you know, because you double its wounds as far as figuring out, you know, its bracketing. And they also have, like, they also have a stratagem, but if I'm really close to the enemy, or if they're really close to me, where it gets to reroll all hits in shooting and in assault. So yeah, it's on paper, it's really good, but I've had no playtesting. I haven't used a Wraith Knight since, like, I don't know when the last
time. 7th edition, probably.
Yeah, probably, I was thinking about that. Yeah, probably well before.
Yeah, that's 7th edition, yeah,
it's been a while.
Into the fire, test it in SoCal.
Now, I took the Autark Skyrunners. I took two of them because I keep on seeing these little three-man annoying little Space Marine squads of, you know, Primaris. You know, the what are they? The Executioners, the ones that can kill HQs?
Eliminators.
The Eliminators, yeah. These little annoying brats are all over the place, and I just want to go out because they ignore Overwatch, and they have a Laser Lance, so I just want them to go out and wander around and kill those little squads if they can. And I gave them the Phoenix Mask so they ignore Overwatch. So what that allowed me to do is then change my mask with my Harlequins, because usually the mask I take is the one where it's basically minus one leadership and it really doesn't do too much, and the opponents roll 2d6, take the highest dice for morale, and I really found out that it really doesn't do hardly anything at all. And so I took, so now I don't really, I'll send the Altark in with his Banshee mask first to knock off Overwatch, and then I'll hit him with the Skyweavers in Assault, because they're good, everybody knows they're good at killing vehicles, so, you know, whatever, so hopefully the Wraith Knight can kill vehicles, and if not, they can
pick up the slack.
Yeah, and also...
And you got that Solitaire, baby.
Yeah.
I love the Solitaire.
And also, I use them a lot to Assault, because you talked about in the Flyers, the Iron Hand Flyers, they're really good at Assaulting. Like, when I played against them, it's like, oh, they might seem to be hit. Okay, fine. I'll shoot at your tanks, and then I'll assault your interceptors. You're not minus two to hit there.
Yeah.
So I gave them a Frozen Star, so that gives me plus one attack. So I go from 15 attacks to 20 attacks. And their stratagem is plus one to wound. So, and they have a lot of, Harlequins have a lot of trouble wounding because they're running around with a 4-up save. And the Troopmaster does have a
4 strength, you mean?
4 strength, sorry. And they have a, the Troopmaster gives them a reroll to wound aura.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but still, reroll for anything with toughness 5, I just struggle against. But that should provide a lot. If I'm fighting hordes and orcs or something like that, hopefully, you know, hitting them with that many attacks, they'll notice it, hopefully. So
yeah, no, I've played Skyweavers before with my orcs, and although it's not an optimal matchup for them, they can still, you know, do some pretty decent anti-infantry shooting with their, in between the combination of their guns and their close combat attacks. Yeah.
And I think the Solitaire, just because, you know, you have to have the Solitaire.
Still.
I think it's in the codex, you have to take this.
Yeah.
But I took two Jeth Jesters. I was kind of thinking about taking two more Skyweavers and taking an Outrider detachment, but instead I switched it up to a Vanguard and took two Jeth Jesters. The reason why is because I'm really worried about my Rangers getting smoked off the objectives and dying. So I was like, well...
Yeah, you mean your backfield objectives.
Yeah, my backfield objectives. So I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, if I have the Wraith Knight running around, hopefully the character will give me a little bit of protection from you know, indirect
fire. Yeah, from all those Thunderfire cannons just right. Blasting your Rangers away. Because even if you're minus two to hit, that means he's hitting you on fours with eight shots at average. He hits you four... And if he has a reroll, he's probably hitting you five or six, and he's going to kill, you know, two or three Rangers with each Thunderfire cannon.
We're starting to see some Imperial Fist Thunderfire cannons, so
yeah.
Ignore cover. So it's like they'll just smoke a Ranger squad without working up a sweat.
I don't want to think about Imperial Fist. The idea that I get plus one damage in the Devastator Doctrine is insane against vehicles. It's like, what the fuck? Like, bolters doing two damage? Like, just regular bolters. Like, it's insane. It's just, it's... Like, the, you know, the Space Marine books are insane. You look at something like, just look at a Yandan, the craft world. You know what you get for being Yandan? You get one of the three things that Iron Hands get for being Iron Hands. And that doesn't include combat doctrines or shock assault or bolter drill and none of that shit. You know, just like, you get to double your wound bracket. You know, and it's like, oh, Iron Hands get that. They get a 5-up Overwatch. They get... 6-up Feel No Pain. They get reroll ones and ignore heavy in the first turn of the game and throughout the whole game. They get plus one attack on the charge. If they don't move, they can rapid fire up to their maximum rapid fire. It's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and also everybody's hoping the Psychic Awakening will be the great savior for the Eldar, but no.
I mean, it's good. There's some good things in there.
The units and buffs really are still a little bit sucky. We're probably going to have to wait till Chapter Approved to really kind of shift the points around, hopefully. Things will be, like, more pointed properly, because these things are, like, Rangers are 12 points each for, you know, and they are not that good. And what really sucks is, I was thinking about, you know, because I had the Supreme Command detachment with my Wraith Knight, and I was thinking about, well, what craft world to make them. So, you know, in the Phoenix Rising, they have choose your own adventures, and I was thinking, well, you know, they have one, I think it's called Wake the Dead, where all the Wraith-type monsters, Wraith-type units, so keywords, reroll to wound. I go, oh, that's pretty good, you know, because they're strength 8, you know. A lot of times I'm going to be wounding on 2s, so rerolling 1s is probably pretty good.
Yeah.
And then the other one was because my Wraith Knight is in there with two Spirit Seers, And a Farseer, the ability to roll ones automatically become twos really greatly improves your chance on psychic tests. Yeah, yeah, you're not going to peril, so you're not going to smoke yourself on our snake eyes. And improves your ability to get out psychic powers, especially since most of the time you need like sevens anyways to get your powers out. Yeah. But then the problem is you lose everything else. You lose the relics.
Yeah. You don't even get you don't get the Space Marine treatment where it's a successor on my end. And
if you had that, it would be great. I would take it all day, every day, because you can still get the relics, you still get the stratagems. But now it's like you take the craft world, boom, that's it. You're like you're done.
It's not like you're even getting much. You're getting one stratagem and one relic and one world a day. It's like you get successor Iron Hands. They get to pick their own adventure. They get way better choices than the Eldar one. And then they get to keep their relics and all their warlord traits and stratagems. It's just, The Psychic Awakening is a good book. Like, don't get me wrong, but
Without Marines in the meta, the showing up, it would have been a very welcome change, and would create some interesting lists and some variations in the Eldar, because Eldar is just now flyer spam, and that's not even working too well now, because Space Marines just blow them out of the sky, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw the Battle for Salvation. Kirk Kloss did really well with a mech Eldar list. Went like 5-0 before the last round. Later rounds, he fought a good player playing Iron Hands and got blown off the table. But the Eldar just against the Space Marine meta are just in a tough spot. And that Psychic Awakening was nice. They had some nice perks, some nice Exarch abilities, But
it added a lot of variety, and there's definitely some jank and play you can do there. But it's like a Band-Aid on an open wound. Like a gunshot wound. You're like, okay.
Now, I hear there's some good things in the Dukhari. I haven't really looked at the Dukhari, and I haven't really paid too much attention to it because I don't have the detachments. Because I was thinking about doing it just for the CPs. And, they have some nice things. So the Dukhari, I think, actually did get better, but...
I don't know about that. Well, there's some interesting stuff there, but
we really want to see what's going to happen at the SoCal Open. This is just the beginning. Where not too many people even have the Space Marines yet.
So what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to be top four?
I think I'm going to bend over and take it like a man.
Your record is going to be.
I'm hoping for 5-1. Hoping for 4. I'd be happy with 4-2. I'm hoping for 5-1. I think I could do 5.
I think if you play 2 Space Marine players, hopefully you play 1 in the early rounds, and
hopefully one will be crappy.
Yeah, exactly. So he's gonna bring his pre FAQ Iron Hand list.
Shooting all the wrong things. Yeah. But it's so easy to make a good list now. It's like three, like Danny. It's like three. Three repulsors.
Three of these.
Yeah, okay, I'm done. Okay.
Look at that. There's all my points.
And it plays itself. It really it doesn't have.
Yeah, that's target priority issues, but other than that,
yeah, that's basically it. But that's what got a lot of people upset about the Space Marine players is because you can have a good Xenos player playing against a crappy Space Marine player, and that Codex will still allow you to win. So
yeah, it's just their offensive. Their offense was turned up so high that it allows. It is a handicap for lack of skill. Not to say that everyone plays. There's. I don't want to come off as sounding like elitist, but because they have such insane damage output, you can make mistakes, and it'll. That's a handicap for you because you can just blow away a bunch of other shit and not have to worry. So, like in most games where you have equal firepower with your opponent, the person with more skill will win because they are making the correct choices, and those choices over the course of the game give them the advantage. But when someone has double the amount of firepower as the other person, the skill of the person with the less firepower won't have the opportunity to overcome that offensive difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we saw that back in the day with the Inari, where it's like, I played really bad, I made all these mistakes, but my arm is so good, I still crushed you.
I made a movement error. Let me... How many times do you hear Inari players, including myself when I played Inari? It was, oh man, I fucked up my movement phase. I guess I'll have to soul burst and get out of here. It's like, shit, it's your turn. This is when they could do it on the opponent's turn. Yeah. Oh, you're going to do that? Oh, fuck, well, good thing I'm going to soul burst. Get out of here or I'll kill you before you do
it. It was just so insane. Yeah. But there's everything is just so much AP and just the amount of shots that they can do and then the ranges that they're dealing with. It's just like
Well,
the Xenos just really, how do you stay alive as a Xenos? There's just not that durability there. I'm like, I'm trying to hide behind -2 to hit and, somewhat of a decent save. And even then, it's like, spotty. And even then, just killing those Primaris Marines is just a struggle.
Yeah, it's an interesting meta. So I'm excited to see what SoCal will bring. I unfortunately can't go. It's my son's birthday that weekend, so it's kind of a no fly for me. But I think it'll be interesting. I think Space Marines will win. My understanding is that all the top players who are visiting are bringing Space Marines.
Yeah, that's
Nick Nativati. I heard Jim Vessel's going to bring Space Marines. It's like everyone.
Don Husson.
Don Husson too, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I noticed. Everybody talked last week about the domination of Space Marines, especially Iron Hands last week, and there was certainly plenty of it to go around, and everybody noticed it. But lost in the big kerfuffle about the Iron Hands and how powerful they were was T.J. Lanigan, who's like tops of the in the ITC. Well, he was second. I think he's dropped down to number 4 now. But he took his list that he's been doing really well with. He went 2-2-1.
Battles for Salvation.
Yeah. So here he is. He's a really good player with a really good list, and all of a sudden he's a 500 player. He just couldn't deal with Space Marine. What we're seeing doing is like all the good players,
Nick Rose went over to Space Marines.
Yeah, there's no good players not playing Space Marines. I haven't
John
seen Jim
Lennon
Vessels
went, and John Lennon.
John Lennon. I want to see
Jim
Richard.
Vessel.
I want to see Richard Sigler. I think was still playing his Tau. But we see if you want to compete, we're seeing almost everybody taking Space Marines
in the top 50, or even top 25. If you were playing something that wasn't Space Marines, your chances are that those people
are playing them now.
Yeah, that's a huge indication of the power of the book. It's just like, it's so versatile.
Because
all of them are playing different lists.
Yeah.
And they're all really good.
So. And if you're not playing Space Marines, you're really struggling. Xenos is just really struggling out there. Because GC the Colts, what are they going to do against against those assault Centurions? They're just going to fry in a hail of fire and flames and death and destruction.
Yeah, exactly. And not deep strike within 12 inches of them.
Yeah.
They're infiltrators. Yeah.
So.
Well, we'll see. It'll be an interesting tournament to follow from afar.
So. Maybe a hero will arise out of the pack. Maybe, Gene Sue Nicole, look at that guy go. Or orcs or something like that.
Yeah,
one guy.
This
like,
is what's going to happen. It's going to be Grey Knights.
Somebody has some secret sauce, some secret tech that he's been honing in his basement, and a hero will rise up. Or most likely it'd just be Iron Hands and losing only to other Space Marines, Space Marines, but we'll see.
We'll see. Well,
we'll be back after the
major, and we'll give a little recap, I think.
Hopefully we can bring some guests on for you, talk SoCal Open. I definitely want to hear Stat Center next, after the SoCal Open, just go into depth about what the heck actually happened. But I think the results, especially since a combination of all the good players playing Space Marines and just the power of that codex, I think it's just going to be brutal if you're not taking Space Marines. But like I said, if I go 4-2 in that meta, I'll be happy. So, all right, with that note, I think it's time to blow this popsicle stand. Let's take it home, Jeff.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to Focused Fire. If you have any comments or criticism, or just any anything you want to bounce off us, just shoot us an email at focusedfire.com. Podcast@gmail.com.
All right, thanks a lot, and good night, everybody.